Is that college grad still around raiding your fridge? There's new data showing some improvement in the job market for young adults.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. On Friday, we got the May jobs report. Now there's some interesting new data from the Federal Reserve in Atlanta about part-time unemployment and jobs for younger workers. On Tuesdays, we check in with Julie Neiman, the analyst with Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
So there's part-time work if you want it that way, and there's forced part-time when you'd like to work full-time, but you can't get the hours. What do we know about the state of that now?
Well, things are gradually beginning to improve. Short-term employment has finally returned. Unemployment has returned to the 2006 levels. Involuntary part-timers have declined, and that's a huge positive. And right now, most of the long-term unemployed people have been unemployed for longer than a year, almost 36% of it. So we are finding jobs out there. It's becoming very slow at this point in time, though.
And what do we know from this data about the prospect for college grads who would like to find some work?
Well, the 18 to 35 crowd basically moved back into the basement. They were unable to find good long-term jobs. Now we're beginning to see a big pickup there simply because they're starting to find those long-term jobs. So the positive news is people are going back to work, spending will increase, and mom and dad are excited because they're coming out of the basement.
Yes, and maybe someday they will pick up their stuff that they've also left in the basement. Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, thank you very much.
You bet.
Staying on this subject, that's one of our core topics here on Marketplace Jobs and where to find them. When politicians talk about the future of employment, often green jobs is the catchphrase, fixing unemployment and the environment at the same time. But let's define terms here. What is a green job and where do they hide? Marketplace's David Weinberg has the story.
California has some of the most ambitious energy conservation goals in the nation. State building codes will require all new residential and commercial buildings to be zero net energy by 2030. That means buildings will have to produce as much energy as they use. To accomplish that, lots of construction workers will be needed.
They're not quote-unquote green jobs. They're just ordinary professional and blue-collar work in the building and construction industry.
For example, one of the key technologies needed to achieve California's energy goals is advanced lighting controls.
A typical building will save anywhere from 50 to 80% of the current energy by just controlling the lighting and using it when they need it and have the right amount of light.
Doug Avery is an expert in lighting controls. Now, you're probably familiar with advanced lighting controls if you've ever walked into a bathroom and the lights automatically came on. Or maybe they didn't. When advanced lighting isn't installed properly, building owners often override the system, which compromises energy saving.
And maybe this is a good time to talk about CalCTP.
CalCTP is the California Advanced Lighting Controls Training Program.
I'm Fernando, and this is Martin.
Inside a warehouse-sized classroom at the Electrical Training Institute in Commerce, California, certified electricians are working in groups of two, installing a miniature lighting system on a pegboard.
How much more complicated is it to install a system like this than a regular lighting system?
As long as you're fairly experienced with this type of thing, you know, it's not that bad, but it definitely requires a class, you know.
California Workforce Investment Board. He says demand for these skilled workers will rise significantly as older utility and construction workers retire over the next 5 to 10 years.
Leaving huge skill gaps in every industry, but in particular with utilities. In fact, 2 out of every 3 job openings will be because of retirements, what we call replacements.
Replacing those skilled workers is a big challenge, but Rainey says it's also a big opportunity. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you, if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th, if you could. Ever dropped your phone or tablet? I had this shattering experience just last week. Now, Radio Shack wants to help. It's just launched a nationwide repair program it calls Fix It Here. Will saving phones save that struggling company? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer tries to find out.
Radio Shack says bring your injured iPhone or Samsung Galaxy into a store and it'll be fixed right there. Repair prices start at $79.99.
I think it's pretty cool.
Samuel Gibbs is just coming out of a Radio Shack store in downtown Washington. He says his girlfriend recently dropped her phone. They didn't even think about getting it repaired.
She ended up having to get a new one, which cost us about $250, I think. So it would have been nice to have a replaced screen instead.
Radio Shack may be on to something. More consumers are having to buy their own phones, so may be more interested in repairing them when they break. But Radio Shack has been struggling for years now. Will Fix It Now fix Radio Shack?
You put me on the spot, right?
Harry Wong is director of mobile research at Parks Associates.
They either have to beef up their, you know, online program or try to find some really unique kind of merchandise to survive.
And Wong says Radio Shack will have competition as manufacturers and other big retail chains start their own repair programs. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And there's news today that federal aviation authorities have given permission for a commercial drone to fly over land in the U.S. for the first time. Pilotless commercial craft are out there, but until now they're wildcats, not licensed by the government. AeroVironment of California says the license will allow one of its Puma AE drones to keep an eye in the sky on BP's oil field on the land side of Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, and to gather data for 3D maps there. Expect more of these licenses to come. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.